Greetings to each one this morning. It is good to see each one here, even on a dreary day. It is good to be inside where it is warm. As was said this morning before, I will be speaking on joy this morning. This is the part of the Advent. Today would be the day for joy. And so I will be speaking on that. And I'm going to go ahead and just read Luke 2, verse 4 to 14. I'm in the right place here. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was a house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those for whom he is pleased." There will be great joy to all people. As Brady stood up here this morning, it is because of that, because of Jesus coming, that lady could find joy, could find peace. We've heard already this morning in our Sunday school, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The joy that came over 2,000 years ago, and that joy continues on today. Dale shared this last Sunday. Advent is looking ahead, looking for the coming or the arrival. Children, how many of you, there's 8 days till Christmas, how many of you are excited? I see hands, I see nodding. Why are you excited? There's gifts, there's family, there's fun times. You're looking forward to something. Over 2,000 years ago, the children of Israel were also looking. They were looking for a deliverer, a redeemer. God had promised that he would send his son. God had promised that he would send a redeemer. Up until this time, they would offer sacrifices, believing that God would fulfill his promise. They didn't know exactly how that would look or how it would take place. And then God sent his son. God fulfilled his promise with his son to come and to die on the cross for the sins of the world. While the children were in exile, at one point, this was when Ezra was reading to them, and he read, they were weeping because of their sins and because they had turned from God. And then Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And he told them to rejoice. Nehemiah understood the forgiveness and the goodness of God. This morning, as we look into joy, as we look into this word, may we see the goodness of God. If we were to look at the word joy, look it up in the Strong's, it means gladness or full of cheer that is calmly happy. Now, there's a lot of things that the world, there's a lot of things that can give a short happiness. But the joy of God is a deep happiness that no one can take away. Joy. Aristotle called happiness this, the summum bonum, or the greatest goodness. And Aaron, this morning, as you shared, I was blessed to be here. As the I often, with Sunday school, I often don't look at it because I want to kind of just let God take me where He does, regardless of the Sunday school. And to see how Aaron talked on thankfulness and joyfulness and thankfulness actually tie in a lot together. And then again, as we looked at the scripture and God sending His Son and how it all has tied together this morning. But joy or happiness is the ultimate goal in people's lives. Aristotle argued that we do what we do, we seek what we seek, and love what we love because we believe things will make us happy. One will go to great lengths and do things that we may even not enjoy doing because we believe it'll bring happiness. Like, we may exercise, or we may take horrible medicine that tastes bad because we believe it'll make us healthy and this will bring us happiness. We go to work in order to make money, believing this chain of events will ultimately make us happy. Happiness is the ultimate end. You may have heard it said, what good is money? It can't buy happiness. But you would never hear one say, what good is happiness? It can't buy money. This morning I want to look at five different things on joy or happiness. The first one is that God is the happiest being. It is ultimate happiness. C.S. Lewis wrote this, joy is serious business in heaven. All good things that we are part of come from God. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will He begat us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of His firstfruits for His creatures. In this time of year, we are reminded of God's greatest gift, His Son, Jesus. Every day, God gives us good things. Family, friends, sunshine, if you live in the South, freedom. The list could go on and on. God blesses us with these things to let us know He deeply loves us and cares for us. Number two, God wants you and I to be joyful. Karl Barth, a theologian, wrote this, it is astounding how many references there are in the Old and New Testament to delight, joy, bliss, exultation, merrymaking, and rejoicing, and how emphatically these are demanded from the book of Psalms and through most of Scripture. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Psalm 32:10 and 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all ye upright in heart. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The fact that God has made this day infuses meaning into it. Over and over in Psalms and throughout Scripture, we are called to rejoice, be joyful, give thanks. There are some people that think joy is like the flu. You just catch it. Or others say it's the genes. Either you have it or you don't. Joy, according to Scripture, is something that you choose, that we strive for. In Galatians 5, we're all familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Joy is included in the fruit of the Spirit. It should grow out of our life, just as apples or peaches grow off of a tree. This morning, I'm not promoting a health and wealth gospel, nor am I suggesting that God wants you and I to have a rich, easy life. If you were to look at most of the apostles died as martyrs. Paul was shipwrecked 3 times, imprisoned at least 3 times, and held up at least 5.5 years in prison. Yet, in Philippians, he calls the church to rejoice. He rejoiced while he was chained to a prison guard. His life was not an easy life. And I mentioned this the last time I preached. There are many, if you were to go look in the martyr's mirror, there are many that have suffered through severe persecution. Interesting fact, the thing about joy is the harder it is put to the test, the more it flourishes. As I was looking into joy and looking into it again, I had to remind, I like the stories of Corrie ten Boom. And again, I think of what her dad told her, when you need the strength, it'll be there. This morning, I don't suggest that we pursue God for happiness. We pursue God because He is worthy to be pursued. We embrace faith because it is truth. It works because it is truth. John 10 says, as Jesus talked about the shepherds and the thief trying to steal, he said, "The thief only comes to steal and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." There's an inner joy that nobody can take away. Millions of Christians have died. Satan has tried to destroy this joy, but no one can take this joy away from you. Number 3, life works better when we are joyful. Peter Keff quoted, "Some things are so simple that only a PhD could miss them. Simply, we are happier when we are happy." If we were to go back to the fruit of the Spirit, it is hard to be loving and hopeful and be joyless. Again, Nehemiah 8:10 said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The absence of joy makes one weak." While the children of Israel were weeping because of their error, repentance is necessary. The forgiveness of God and His continual love is joy and strength to those that love Him. Joy also makes sin less attractive. C.S. Lewis wrote this, "It is impossible to be full of joy and full of pride at the same time." If you've ever read any of C.S. Lewis's letters, the Screwtape letters, there is an imaginary correspondence between a senior demon and the woodworm, who was just learning to tempt and destroy a human. The senior demon said to Wormwood, "Keep your charge away from joy. We don't understand it. We haven't been able to produce it. We know that it accompanies music, and it happens in heaven, and bad things happen." Now remember, these are the demons speaking, so bad things are good things. He goes on to say, "Bad things accompany a joy, and one of them is that people have less pride." In another one of those letters to Wormwood, there's a secret that said this, "There is a secret these children of God, our patients, have failed to recognize through the ages. Joy is their engine. It is a simple formula. When they are joyless, they are useless." Again, we have joy, happiness that God has given, and Satan can't take it away. Number 4, true happiness is a result of an ordered life. This joy is a happy joy, one that holds up in prison. As Paul and Silas sat in prison chained, they were able to sing. One that life, when life turns upside down. This morning, we heard some of those as Dale's forklift. Other Sunday, we heard of Junior's Traco. Or Scott with his parents and the things that they're facing. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes we go through things. And yet, regardless of all those, we can find joy and happiness. The happiness of sin is a counterfeit. It often looks good and satisfying, but is fleeting and is always ultimately disappoints. Sin never leads to joy, nor does it lead to freedom. Joy is a byproduct. If one seeks joy directly, it proves elusive. Hedonism, the aggressive pursuit of pleasure, has been proven not to work over time. If one was to make pleasure their chief end, it is elusive. It fails to satisfy. We were made to seek God. Joy comes from a relationship with Him. God is behind all good things. We should thank Him and recognize Him in all things. The bullseye is God, not joy. God is the author of joy, and joy is a byproduct of a rightly lived life. Number five, lasting joy comes through right giving and thanksgiving. Paul never stopped thanking God, regardless of his situation. In Romans 1:8, he thanked God because of the people's faith and them spreading the gospel through the world. Ephesians 1:5, he thanks God because of the church's love for the saints. In Philippians, he thanked God for their partnership or fellowship in sharing the gospel. Part of Paul's spiritual habit was to thank God for stuff. It didn't matter where he was, in prison, prisoner on a ship. It didn't matter what he was facing, or if he was chained to a guard, he gave thanks. Paul trained himself to see good and to thank God for it. He rehearses his blessing, which he believes he does not deserve. He sees himself as one that deserves to be punished, but God has graciously forgiven him and given him life. God has allowed him to be part of his eternal plan. It is from this vantage point that Paul is thankful. It is from this point that Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who called according to his purpose. And in Philippians 1:19, it didn't matter if Paul was going to die or if he was going to live. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Real joy is knowing where God has brought us from and what he has made us, that we can be called the children of God. This season, we celebrate Jesus being born. And again, we look in Luke 2 and verse 10, the good news of great joy shall be to all people. The coming of Jesus brought joy and happiness. His resurrection and death, fulfilling God's plan, gives us each day joy within. Regardless what you may face, what Satan may throw at you, Satan cannot take this joy away. The only way this joy can go away is we have to allow it to be taken away. In John 16:22, and this is where Jesus was getting ready to ascend back into heaven, and the disciples were sorrowful, and he said, and ye therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away from you. This season, as we, children, as I ask you about if you were excited for Christmas and about gifts, if you were to give your gift, or you have your gift all picked out, you bought gifts, you're all looking forward to it, and then all of a sudden you just couldn't give it. Or possibly you were able to give it and someone didn't like it, or they were disappointed, or they were upset about the gift. Gifts are made to be given. They're all right. This season, God gave us a gift. And as Brady shared this morning, that gift to be shared with others. What will you, what will I do with their gift, with his gift this season? To close this morning, I want to read one other scripture. And we stand in this spot between has been and yet hasn't been. As we look at joy, Christ bought us joy, and yet we have joy in this world mixed among trouble. And we look forward to the time when we will spend eternity with our Savior and the troubles of this life will be gone. We wait for our joy to be fulfilled. And as we wait, Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I spoke unto you, that your joy might be reign in you, and your joy might be made full." Jesus also said this in John 17, "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture may be fulfilled." He has given us his joy. That it may be fulfilled in us. This season, as we celebrate the joy, the coming of Christ, may we share it with others. And whatever we may face, remember the world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. So let's remain faithful as we strive through this life, looking forward to the time that our joy can be complete and then we can spend an eternity with our Savior. Reuben, do you have a song? All right. You will stand and pray. Father, again this morning, we just say thank you for your great love. Father, we thank you for the joy that you have given to us as we become your children. Regardless of what trials we face, as we look in the past and as we go through life, we face many trials, but no one can take that joy away. Father, we're thankful for that this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. And God, as we go through this season and continue through the next year, God, I pray that you would help us to remember your joy, to give thanks, and to spread that joy with those that we come in contact with. God, I pray that you would bless each one here today. And again, thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God.